The evil girlfriend handed Klaus the rusty blade and leaned in closely to talk to him. "I'm glad you two are here," she whispered. "The brat's little brother and sister haven't been captured yet, and we still don't have the file on the Snicket fires. The authorities removed it for their investigation. The boss says we might have to torch the place."
"Torch?"
Sonny asked. "Mattathias will take care of that part," Esme said, looking around the hallway to make sure no one could hear them. "All you have to do is assist with the surgery. Let's hurry up." Esme walked up a stairway as fast as her shoes could carry her, and the children followed nervously behind her, Klaus holding the rusty, jagged knife. With every door they opened, every hallway they walked down, and every staircase they ascended, the youngsters were afraid that at any moment Esme would see through their disguises and realize who they were. But the greedy woman was too busy pausing to yank the blades of the stiletto heels out of the floor to notice that the two additional associates of Dr. Flacutono bore a very strong resemblance to the children she was trying to capture. Finally, Esme led the Baudelaires to a door marked Surgical Ward, which was being guarded by someone the children recognized at once. The guard was wearing a coat which read Heimlich Hospital, and a cap that had the word Guard printed on it in big black print, but Klaus and Sonny could see that this was another spurious disguise. The siblings had seen this person at Damocles' dock, when poor Aunt Josephine had been their guardian, and they'd had to cook for this person when they'd been living with Count Olaf. The spurious guard was an enormous person who looked like neither a man nor a woman, and who had been assisting Count Olaf with his nefarious schemes for as long as the Baudelaires had been escaping from them. The person looked at the children, and the children looked back at him or her, certain that they would be recognized, but Olaf's assistant merely nodded and opened the door. "They've already anaesthetized the bratty orphan," Esme said. "So you ladies merely need to go to her room and bring her to the operating theatre. I'm going to try to find that snivelling bookworm and that stupid baby with the oversized teeth. Mattathias says I get to choose which one to keep alive in order to force Mr. Poe to give us the fortune, and which one I get to rip to shreds."
"Good,"
Klaus said, trying to sound fierce and villainous.
"I'm tired of chasing those kids around."
"Me too," Esme said,
and the enormous assistant nodded in agreement. "But I'm sure this will be the last time. Once we've destroyed the file, nobody can accuse us of any crimes. And once we murdered the orphans, the fortune will be ours." The villainous woman paused and looked around her to make sure no one was listening, and then, satisfied that no one could hear her, she laughed wildly in triumph. The enormous assistant laughed too, an odd laugh that sounded like a squeal and a howl at the same time, and the two Baudelaire youngsters tilted back their masked faces and made noises as if they were laughing too, although their laughter was as spurious as their disguises. Klaus and Sonny felt more like being sick than laughing, as they pretended to be as greedy and evil as Count Olaf and his troop. It had never occurred to the children how these terrible people acted when they didn't have to pretend to be nice, and the two siblings were horrified to hear all the bloodthirsty things Esme had said. Watching Esme and the enormous assistant laugh together made the butterflies in the Baudelaire stomachs flutter all the more, and the youngsters were relieved when Esme finally stopped laughing and ushered the children into the surgical ward.
"I'll leave you ladies in the hands of our associates," she said.
And the Baudelaires immediately saw with horror what she meant.